Electronic cigarettes, or e-cigs, are in the news again following the release of the annual National Youth Tobacco Survey. While the survey found that traditional cigarette smoking continues its decline, the use of e-cigarettes among youth tripled from 2013 to 2014 and for the first time exceeds use of regular cigarettes.
For public health officials, it's serious news, but many say it's not surprising. In an op-ed in today's New York Times, two health experts, including a former FDA head, make the case that e-cigarette companies are using the same playbook as cigarette companies used to for years to hook teenagers on tobacco. And they say it's time for the federal companies, or for rather, federal regulations to be imposed.
Joining us now to discuss the latest e-cig statistics and the possibility of regulation is Stanton Glantz. He's a professor of medicine and tobacco control at the University of California, San Francisco. He's been watching this issue for some time now. Stan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, looking at these statistics from the National Youth Tobacco Survey, other information out there, how prevalent is e-cigarette use among teens, among our youth?
It's rapidly growing. And in fact, nationally, more teenagers are using e-cigarettes than smoking cigarettes.
So I've seen some responses to this saying, okay, ideally, yeah, the youth aren't doing any of this, but if we had to have a choice, you know, cigarettes, traditional tobacco products, and e-cigarettes, maybe this is better. So is this in some way good news, do you think?
No, it's terrible news, because the increase in e-cigarette use is larger than the drops in smoking. And so what we're seeing is a net increase in the number of kids getting addicted to nicotine. Nicotine is particularly bad for adolescents, because their brains and their nervous systems are still developing, and the nicotine actually physically changes their brains and nervous systems. And it's well established that the younger people are when they start exposing themselves to nicotine, the more heavily addicted they get, and the harder it is to quit, and the longer they use nicotine. Also, our research and others has shown that kids who use e-cigarettes are much more likely to go on and become established smokers than kids who don't use e-cigarettes.
Now, these things,
it's a disaster.
These things, from my perspective, kind of came out of nowhere. One day, somebody actually started vaping here in the studio. I didn't even know what it was. Now you see stores all over. But for people who aren't yet familiar with e-cigarettes, what are they? How do they work? How do they compare to traditional tobacco products?
Well, a traditional tobacco product, a traditional cigarette, delivers an aerosol of nicotine, ultrafine nicotine particles down into your lungs, where they're absorbed and taken to your brain to get the nicotine hit. And the way that aerosol is created is by burning the tobacco. And in the process, you get a lot of toxic chemicals, especially cancer-causing chemicals. E-cigarettes don't burn anything, so they don't generate as much cancer-causing chemicals. They generate the aerosol of ultrafine particles by heating up a mixture of usually propylene glycol, nicotine, and other chemicals to create these particles, which are then inhaled deep into the lungs and deliver nicotine to your brain. The problem is that the particles themselves have a lot of adverse health effects, and so in terms of particle delivery, e-cigarettes are actually a little bit worse than conventional cigarettes. And these particles trigger inflammatory processes that are related to non-cancer lung disease and heart disease. They also deliver a lot of volatile organic compounds, things like formaldehyde and heavy metals that boil off the little heating element that they have.
Talking to Stanton Glantz, he's a professor of medicine and tobacco control at the University of California, San Francisco, looking at vaping, looking at e-cigarettes. Recent studies show they're booming among youth. Use tripled over a year, outpacing regular old-fashioned cigarettes and other tobacco products. Well, let's get into that, Stan. The marketing toward teens. This is a big worry for you. What do you see happening when it comes to selling these e-cigarette products to kids?
Well, we haven't had television advertising for nicotine, recreational nicotine, since 1972. About two-thirds of the American population has never seen a cigarette ad on television. And e-cigarette marketing is on TV, it's on the radio, it's plastered all over the Internet. And what the research has shown is that the increases in television marketing that have been going on are just paralleled by increases in youth use. That's one of the big things that's driving it. The other thing is, and you said it yourself, is the idea that cigarettes have become old-fashioned and e-cigarettes are the new hip thing. And a lot of kids who wouldn't dream of buying a cigarette from a tobacco company think that by using e-cigarettes, they're actually rebelling against big tobacco. But the fact is that most of the e-cigarettes being sold today are made by Philip Morris and Reynolds and Lorillard, the big tobacco companies. And they're also the ones, along with Enjoy, which is the one big independent e-cigarette company, who are doing the television and other mass marketing that's driving the youth use.
There was some concern in years past about flavored tobacco products, certain kinds of cigars, cigarettes. Flavor, a big issue for these e-cigarettes. What do you make of the range of flavors that are being made available on the market?
Well, it's just the flavors are a huge problem with e-cigarettes. There's like SpongeBob SquarePants e-cigarettes. There's Tutti Frutti e-cigarettes. There's just an infinite number of flavor combinations, and several studies that have been done all over the country have found that the flavors in the e-cigarettes are a major reason that they appeal to kids. The flavors also mask the nicotine and make the e-cigarettes a lot easier to smoke, which is another reason that they're basically cigarettes on training wheels. The other thing is that it's pretty rare for kids to just use e-cigarettes. These people who are saying, like, well, you know, it's good that we're seeing a big increase in e-cigarettes because it's keeping them from smoking conventional cigarettes. But by far the dominant use pattern among kids, as with adults, is what's called dual use, where they're using e-cigarettes and cigarettes at the same time. And as I said earlier, our research has shown that a kid who experiments with conventional cigarettes and also uses e-cigarettes is about 8 times more likely to go on and become an established cigarette smoker than kids who don't use e-cigarettes.
As we mentioned up front, op-ed in the New York Times today, co-written by a former commissioner of the FDA, saying, hey, federal government, you need to regulate these things. Regulations have been in the works for a while. What would you like to see come from the FDA on these e-cigarettes?
Well, I think the FDA should ban flavors. They should prohibit television advertising. They should prohibit sales over the internet. They should prohibit claims that you can use them anywhere and that they're good for smoking cessation. They should limit any marketing to direct-to-consumer marketing to established smokers. But I think as a practical matter, any meaningful regulations by the FDA are years away. The Obama administration has been dragging its feet on not only e-cigarette, but a wide range of tobacco regulations. They haven't even banned menthol, even though the law, which passed in 2009, put in place a process by which they could do that. They've blocked regulations at the Department of Transportation to prohibit e-cigarette use on airplanes. And even if the FDA rule is issued in the next few months, which they say it will, all the FDA is doing is taking jurisdiction over e-cigarettes. There's no real meaningful regulation. And so in order to do the kind of things they should do, unless the FDA changes and responds very favorably to the public health input they've been given, they're going to have to start the whole regulatory process all over again, say, to deal with flavors, which will take years. The real action on e-cigarettes is occurring at the local and state level around the country, where hundreds of communities are including them in their clean indoor air laws. Some states, like Minnesota, are now beginning to tax them like cigarettes. Here in San Francisco, to sell e-cigarettes, you need a license, and they're going to start limiting the number of places they can be sold. I think the real action over e-cigarettes, I don't think we should wait or can wait for the FDA.
For those local actions, Stan, I wanted to ask, are there particular things that would help, you think, prevent e-cigarettes from being sold to minors in particular?
Well, I think that the first thing that we need is to make it so people don't want them. And that's much more effective than sales restrictions, although sales restrictions are a reasonable thing to do. The single most important thing to do is to include e-cigarettes in all clean indoor air laws so that you can't use them indoors anywhere you can't smoke. People who've made their homes smoke-free should make them e-cigarette-free, and they should be included in the same kind of licensing restrictions that apply to selling cigarettes, and they should be taxed like cigarettes. Those are all things that would substantially reduce youth use.
We're talking right now with Stanton Glantz of the University of California, San Francisco. Looking at e-cigarettes, new numbers show more younger people turning to these products than in the past, more using these products than traditional tobacco products, in fact. That's renewing the call for regulation, and we want to hear from you.
What do you think about e-cigarette use? Do we need to regulate e-cigs in order to keep young people from using them? And if so, how should we do that? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about e-cigarettes and the call for regulations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is it time for the federal government to step in and do something about rising e-cigarette use, especially among teens? What could be done to cut down on kids using these products? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Professor Stanton Glantz stays with us. He's with the University of California, San Francisco, been studying tobacco-related issues for some time now. We'll go to our first caller at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hi.
Hey, so my experience with them, I actually started smoking when I was 16. And what got me hooked on it was flavored tobacco, which I think is a pretty regular thing for people of that age. Luckily, I quit smoking when I was around 20, and that was kind of right when some of the e-cigarette-type things started to come about. And my experience with them was I would try to use them to quit, but it made it harder because it was like candy. You know, it was flavored still. And, you know, with a cigarette, you smoke it, and it's gone. But with these e-cigs, you can just keep puffing and puffing and puffing. And now I have a bunch of friends who use them instead of cigarettes. And I'll be hanging out with them, and it's like they won't sit down. They just keep going and going and going, and it never ends like a cigarette does.
Jack, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. Interesting perspective. Stan, do you think that's a common story for people in that younger age group?
Yes.
Is there something about smoking these e-cigarettes, as he was saying, that you can keep smoking them? They never run out, or not as fast as regular cigarettes?
Well, I mean, they do run out, but one, depending how big the tank is, one e-cigarette is about like somewhere between 10 and 30 cigarettes. And the other thing about them is just because of the physics of a cigarette, there's a limit to how frequently you can puff it, whereas with the e-cigarettes, since they're just delivering the nicotine aerosol, you know, by heating up the fluid when you suck on it, you can absorb quite a lot more nicotine quite a lot faster. And in fact, there have been reports of people smoking them so intensely that they actually got sick. One of the things that makes cigarettes such a good nicotine delivery device in terms of addiction is that you can't smoke them fast enough to get really sick, other than when you're first starting and when your body isn't at all used to nicotine. So that's another one of the dangerous things about e-cigarettes, actually.
Thanks a lot for that call. Line is open up at 800-642-1234. If you have thoughts on vaping, on e-cigarettes, what do you think about them? What do you think about the news that the use of these e-cigarettes has jumped a lot among teens? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Back to our callers. We've got KB on the line in La Crosse. KB, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I wanted to give another perspective from someone who's actually been trying to quit smoking for years. And I had rolled my own cigarette with no filter. I smoked straight cigarettes for pretty much ever since 1985. And it wasn't until vaping came around that I actually was able to be tobacco-free entirely for now 4 months. I started in January, and I haven't had a cigarette since. and I feel great. I was having problems trying to quit with other programs and stuff like that. And we can get different nicotine levels. You know, the highest that you can get is 25 milligrams in the fluid. And that's dangerously high. I started at 15, and now I'm down to 5 milligrams. And I actually have fluids now that have 0 milligrams of nicotine, and I'm just doing it just for the flavor.
KB, thanks a lot for sharing that. And Stan, we hear that whenever we talk about e-cigarettes, some people say, hey, they helped me quit tobacco, and then I slowly wean myself off of that. Should e-cigarettes be part of the pantheon of alternatives to smoking to help people quit?
Well, there's quite a lot of data on this, and while there's no question that some people have successfully used e-cigarettes to quit smoking, if you look at all smokers and compare quitting among smokers who are using e-cigarettes and smokers who are not using e-cigarettes, the smokers who use e-cigarettes are about a third less, not more, likely to quit. And so the net effect of e-cigarette use in the population as a whole is to actually reduce quitting cigarettes. Now, again, there are some people who have successfully used them to quit, and I congratulate the caller for having good luck with it. But he's really the exception rather than the rule, unfortunately. I mean, what I tell people who ask me about using e-cigarettes to quit is to say that we have other products out there that have been tested and approved by the FDA for smoking cessation, and people are better off using them. But if you're going to try quitting with an e-cigarette, the most important thing to do is to stop using cigarettes and just solely use the e-cigarettes, because it's among the dual users, the people who are smoking cigarettes and e-cigarettes at the same time, that we seem to see the most relapse to smoking.
KB, thanks for the call. Talking to Stan Glantz from the University of California, San Francisco, about e-cigarettes, big jump in the use among youth, a big jump in the use among everyone, it seems like. A lot of stores out there selling these things. Stan, from the perspective of somebody who's been watching tobacco for some time, did you have a sense that, hey, we're making headway, we're reducing tobacco, and then all of a sudden people are using nicotine in a whole other way? Do you feel like we're backsliding?
Oh, yeah, I have a kind of standard lecture I give when I'm invited to speak to professional audiences about e-cigarettes, and the title is Back to the Future, because I feel like I've gotten in the time machine and gone back to the 1970s. We're having a lot of the same arguments we had back then, a lot of the same kind of unsubstantiated claims about the product are being made as used to be made about cigarettes. We have unrestricted Wild West marketing going on and no meaningful government regulation. So it's a terrible problem. And while I think there's no question that a puff on an e-cigarette isn't as dangerous as a puff on a cigarette, the behavioral effects that they're having are to bring new kids into nicotine addiction, a large fraction of which will undoubtedly graduate to cigarette smoking because cigarettes are cheaper and still generally more effective at delivering the addictive drug nicotine. And it's going to be reducing quitting by adults. So I think it's a disaster right now. And the other thing that's going on is while we do have all these mom-and-pop vape shops around the country, the industry's rapidly being taken over by the big multinational cigarette companies who are managing the e-cigarette market in a way to keep people smoking cigarettes because the cigarettes are a lot more profitable for them.
Back to our callers. We've got Ian on the line in Wausau. Ian, hi.
Hey there.
What do you think?
Well, overall, I don't disagree with what he's saying. I just wanted to mention that a lot of my coworkers where I work do e-cigarettes, e-vaping, that kind of stuff. And me, as someone who doesn't smoke at all, I tend not to be able to, when they do smoke cigarettes, I tend to leave the room and avoid them because the smell and the smoke makes it really difficult to breathe. But when they use the e-cigarettes and the vaping, I find that I can at least be around them, and it doesn't really feel like it hurts to breathe around them as it does with cigarette smoke.
Interesting, Ian. Stan, is there anything, I know this is a fairly new product really, do we know much about the secondhand effects of e-smoking?
E-cigarettes do pollute the air just like cigarettes. They don't pollute as much as cigarettes because a lot of the secondhand smoke people breathe in is the side stream smoke that comes off the cigarette when it's smoldering, and e-cigarettes don't smolder. But it's already been demonstrated that bystanders breathe in the nicotine and other poison chemicals that the e-cigarettes are putting into the air. And that's why, or one of the main, in fact, the main reason that I tell people that you shouldn't be allowed to use e-cigarettes any place you can't smoke, because you're still polluting the air.
So going forward, what kind of research would you like to see happen on these products and how teens are using them?
I think the most important research in terms of biology is looking at their effects on heart disease, because based on what we know about air pollution and cigarette smoke and the importance of the ultrafine particles in triggering heart attacks and other kind of lung problems, I think getting to, you know, nailing that down and seeing exactly whether those effects are there and how big they are. I think that research on what kind of warning labels should be on these products to make them, make the warning labels effective, is a good idea. And I think developing regulatory policies at the state and local level to restrict where they can be sold, to keep them away from schools, to restrict the density of sales, to get them out of convenience stores and pharmacies and Costco, and limit them to licensed specialty stores are all important things that could be done.
Stan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was Stanton Glantz. He's a professor of medicine and tobacco control at the University of California, San Francisco, joining us to talk about regulating e-cigarettes in response to rising use, especially among youth.